within just 30 some years from the time that Jesus Christ was sacrificed, new converts, new believers and followers of Christ were starting to fall away and dwindle, questioning whether they were even followers to begin with or not. And what was happening, Christianity had become nothing more than a fad to some people. Many here today remember some of the fads that have happened in the past. I particularly remember bell-bottom pants, long hair, tie-dye shirts, things like that. Today we see things like the Webkinz and stuff that kids are into today, listening to iTunes with their iPods and all that kind of stuff. And we see the fads coming and going. A fad is a style that interests people for a short time or like a passing fashion. It's here today and gone tomorrow. And sadly, this is what had happened in the early church, and in fact, has happened today in our society and in our world. This is the purpose that the book of Hebrews was written for to begin with. The writer of Hebrews wrote to the early believers that were falling away, encouraging them not to fall away, but to stay firm in their faith, to continue on being followers of Jesus Christ, trying to convince them the truth that Christ was the true Messiah, that He was the superior high priest, He was the superior sacrifice, and that our attention in our journey is following Him, is to focus on Him and stay focused to the end. I have to say, this study in Hebrews, I hope for you, has been as enriching as it has been for me. Because what I see in the book of Hebrews is that it is a handbook for Christianity to the Jew especially and to the new believer. It's valuable to believers today because it contains the doctrines and the duties of true Christianity. It discards and discounts all the little things that we get so wrapped up in today that separate us as Methodists and Presbyterians and Christian Missionary Alliance and Baptists. And it gets down to the bare root and foundation of Christianity and the doctrines and the duty of true Christians. The doctrines of Christianity being about Christ. We call it Christology. That is the purpose and reason that we exist, because we are followers of Jesus Christ, following His teachings, accepting His teachings as truth, and following Him all the way into glory. This is what separates us from the other religions of the world. We are followers of Jesus Christ and His teachings and no one else. Christians accept and follow and teach what Jesus taught because Christians believe that Jesus is the final and ultimate authority and revelation of God and God's word and will to us. In the very first chapter, it tells us of Hebrews when the writer started out, the very first chapter, saying that in the past God spoke through the prophets, through the forefathers, many times and in various ways, but now in these last days He's spoken to us by His Son. He's spoken to us through Jesus Christ. So as Christians, we are followers of His Word because He reveals God's Word and God's will to us. He taught to love one another as He loves us. He taught to repent of our sins and turn back to God. He taught that He is the way to the Father, that He and the Father are one, and that salvation comes only through Him. Now, here we begin to see some of the separations. We follow Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ taught these things, that salvation comes only through Him. Something other religions are not teaching, that there are other ways to eternal life. It's not what Christ taught. That's what separates us as Christians from the world, trying to welcome in and bring others into the truth and the joy of knowing the true way. This is what's known as Orthodox Christian teaching and doctrine, the teachings of Jesus Christ. The Apostle John writes, "Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son." He wrote to Timothy and said, "If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he's conceited and he understands nothing." Paul warned the Colossians He said, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than Christ. See, he was telling them, you've got to stop focusing on the ways and the principles and the philosophies of the world and focus on the ways, the principles, and the philosophies of Jesus Christ. When we don't, we fall away. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, teaching them that when we're built up in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we are mature as Christians. We are mature Christians. And as a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. And sadly, the early church had been led astray by strange teachings. So the writer of Hebrews here concludes their message concerning this in falling away. They say, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. What was their faith in? Jesus Christ and the word of God and the teachings of Christ. So the writer is saying, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Who were the leaders of the early church? They were the apostles. So remember the apostolic teaching, the teaching of the apostles. Because the apostles taught in the first century about the virgin birth, the deity of Jesus Christ, that God substituted himself in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross for the sins of all men, of all mankind, that he died and rose again on the third day and will return. That was the apostolic teaching, and that he offers salvation to all who believe in him and follow him and accept him as Lord and Savior. That was the apostolic teaching that the people were falling away from, following other doctrines and teachings of that day. They say, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Imitate their faith, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, so do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. Okay? This is a problem then. It's a problem today. We live in what an age that's maybe called an age of enlightenment. I don't know. There's so much teaching out there. There's so much emphasis on intellect. There's so much emphasis on intelligence and philosophies of this world. But they're false. They're wrong. They're strange teachings, because what they do, they lead us away from God. They challenge us, which is good. But our faith must be strong and must be in Jesus Christ, or these strange teachings and philosophies lead us away from our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what happened. That's why the writer wrote this book. He says, it's good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods. This was the first problem. These strange teachings were teaching that holiness, true holiness and salvation, came through the works, through the ceremonies, through the sacrifices. But you see, in Christianity, we live under grace. And he says, it's good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not the ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. The food doesn't cleanse us. The grace cleanses us. So the high priest carries the blood of the animals into the most holy place of the temple as a sin offering. But the bodies were burned outside the camp or outside the city. They burned the bodies outside the city gates. But they brought the blood in to be offered up as a sin offering. And just like this, the writer says, Jesus also suffered outside the city gate on Calvary, where he was crucified, to make the people holy through his own blood. But the writer is saying, let's then go to him outside the camp. I mean, let's leave the old Jewish way, which the writer was particularly writing to here. Let's leave the old camp and go to the new camp outside the city gate, bearing the disgrace with Christ that he bore. Let's separate ourselves because we're different and bear the disgrace that Jesus Christ bore. Because we don't have an enduring city, we are looking for a city that's yet to come. Now, the writer says, therefore, let's not be carried away by strange teachings. We are under grace. Therefore, let's continually offer praise to God, a sacrifice of praise by the fruit of our lips, confessing His name. He's not the man upstairs. He's not the guy that's in charge. He's God Almighty. He's Yahweh. He's Jehovah. And let's continually offer to Him a sacrifice of praise with our lips, confessing His name, that He is the God who saves and sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to save us. And don't forget to do good. Share with others, because with such sacrifices, God's pleased. He's not pleased with the ceremonial foods. He's pleased with our confession and our good works toward others, doing good toward others, sharing with others. That's what pleases God, is what He's saying to these people. Don't go back to that old way, because that old way is of no value. And again, He says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. Which leaders? These are the leaders that they just talked about, the ones who spoke the word of God. So what they're doing, they're reminding them, don't go back to those old ways. They have no value. Obey your leaders. Listen to what your leaders are telling you, those leaders who taught you the word of God and the word of truth. And submit to their authority. If they are truly teaching the truth in the word of God, submission to those kind of biblical truth-teaching authorities benefits the whole body of Jesus Christ. My job, biblically, as pastor, which means shepherd, is to edify, which means build up and strengthen, and teach the flock. Why? So that when wolves come in seeking to destroy, the flock know how to defend themselves. The flock doesn't run away in fear, or the flock is not destroyed or anyone lost. That's a great blessing. I can't tell you what a blessing that is that God has laid on my life. And an honor to stand and teach the Word of God, because our own United Methodist doctrine says we believe the Bible contains all that is necessary unto salvation. In other words, all of the teaching to enlighten us and teach us and guide us towards Christ. The writer was urging these who were turning away to stick to the apostolic teachings, that we as believers, they as believers, are under grace, not works. That believers are to offer God sacrifices of praise with our mouths and with our bodies as we carry out the good works. To obey and submit to the authority of their leaders. These are great exhortations, great advice for Christians today, folks. Christianity cannot be a fad that we are in it just for the blessing that Jesus says, I come that you may have life and have it abundantly. That's not why we're in this. We are in this because we realize we are unworthy sheep. We are sinful people, but God is a God of grace and glory, compassion and forgiveness. And the Bible says if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Where else can we go for that? First of all, Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Secondly, it's a lifelong journey. It's a journey which, I'll admit, sometimes wears us right down into the mire and the mud. But it's a lifelong journey that begins with our profession of faith in Jesus Christ and ends with our presence with Jesus in glory. And we travel that journey knowing that we're not alone, that He's there with us. When we fall, He says, "Here, take my hand." He's like the great Shekinah glory leading the people in the desert. He goes before us. He goes behind us, protecting us. He's on all sides. He's there for every one of us on that journey. And in this wonderful writing, Paul says, "Brothers, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation," because sometimes it's hard. It's hard to take this and digest it because we don't like what it says, because it points to that black stain inside us. But if you just turn a couple more pages, it says, "Hey, I got good news. That stain can be removed. That stain's removed by the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ." That's the good news here in this word. That's what the writer of Hebrews was trying to say. Jesus is superior. He's superior as God's revelation. He's superior as our great high priest who intercedes for us at the right hand of God. Isn't that cool? He's right there for us. That's awesome. Don't turn back to anything the writer's saying. We have a great Savior, a great high priest, a great atonement, a great sacrifice, a great Lord, a great friend. So what are we to do as Christians? Bearing in mind that in these last days He's spoken to us by His Son, Jesus Christ, providing us purification for sins. You've heard it before, but it always helps to hear it again. We pay more careful attention to what we've heard so we do not drift away. Since the promise of entering the rest still stands, let's be careful that none of us be found to have fallen short of that promise, having faith in God and His promise. It still remains. Don't be disobedient. Let's make every effort to enter that rest by being obedient to God. Continue to say that Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So let's draw near to God. Let's hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. Let's consider how we might spur one another on. Let's not give up eating together. Let's encourage one another. We need to persevere. Remember the faith of our forefathers who went before us: Abel, Enoch, Abraham, Moses, Isaac. Remember their faith. Remember the result of their faith, that they were blessed by God. Be faithful. Remain faithful. Because we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. We have all these testimonies of God's blessing on the faithful. So let's fix our eyes on Jesus as we run the race marked out for us. Fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. We've not come to an earthly mountain, to an earthly glory. We have come to a heavenly mountain, a mountain of grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't refuse Him when He speaks. Since we're receiving that kingdom, be thankful. Worship God with reverence and awe. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Entertain strangers. Remember those in prison, those who are mistreated. Keep marriage held high in honor. Be content with what you have. Keep your lives free from the love of money. And remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Imitate their faith. Great words. It's our handbook of Christianity, folks. It's basic. Everybody can understand. It's not deep doctrine. It's simple doctrine for all of us. Jesus Christ is superior. Have faith in Him. Persevere in Him. Because there's a great promise that awaits us in eternity. Let's pray.